This morning, I want you to think back to that first love that you had. Do you remember your first love? That excitement that you had? Do you remember the romance that it was? I don't know how old you might have been. I was pretty young. And you know, it might be difficult for you to remember, but remember, you were obsessed with your first love. I mean, just absolutely, that was all that was on your mind was your first love. Sometimes our first love we kind of keep in our minds, even throughout our lives, and our mind kind of wanders back to it. I hate to say it, but that's true for me. In fact, I even brought a picture. There it is, right there, the Lockheed SR-71 Blackbird. There was not another plane on this planet that I really appreciated more than this. And it was it's still, except for an experimental plane, although it's been retired now, except for an experimental plane, still holds the speed record for a regular flying aircraft jet. It was over 2,000 miles an hour it could go, and it was the highest flying until this new, still experimental plane has come on the scene. I tell you, this was just the black beauty of my life. I think it still is. We have that first love in our life. Maybe that first love in your life is still there. Your wife's not the person that you ended up marrying. Maybe that was your first love. Maybe it's the love that you have now that's much greater for your wife or your husband. But you ever notice that first love that we have, many times our love kind of wanes. It's not so important to us, whether it's a dog, a cat, or a person, or in this case, a jet airplane. Did you ever notice how sometimes it wanes? Maybe it's the familiarity with it. Maybe it's after learning more about them. Whatever it might be. You know, it's interesting. As Christians, I find that we do the same thing with God's Word. When we are first introduced to God's Word, maybe as a child, maybe as an adult, we become very interested in what it has to say. And so we take and we read it and devour it. We're going to Bible studies. We're going to church. We want to know more. But after a while, we end up learning the stories of the Old Testament. We know what Jesus did, and that he died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and came back to life. We know the miracles that he did. We know he's coming back. And it becomes very familiar to us, and we just kind of lose our fervor for it. That's why many Christians tend to be ignorant of the Scriptures, even some of the old stories. We knew them, but we don't go back to them because we know them already. We know David and Goliath. We know Daniel in the lion's den. We'll take our church to our Bibles to church on Sunday morning and on Wednesday because we want to look good. But then at home it sits on our shelf. That first love letter that you got when you were a kid, I mean real love letter, you might still have it. You read it over and over again. You memorized it. If it was a special poem that they wrote, you had that memorized. You loved it. They kept it with you. But not so much now, huh? Why? That was a long time ago. God wrote in us a love letter. His Word. What do you think of it? In Psalm 119, there's 176 statements about God's Word. 176. Do you think if you could sit down and describe God's Word in the same manner, you'd come up with 176 verses? But we don't have the author's name. It's not given to us here. If I say David, it's because David wrote most of the Psalms, and I just attribute this to him because I did. But there's nothing here that tells us who wrote it. But listen to what he says about God's Word. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. Oh, we'd all like a lot of money, wouldn't we? We would love if there was a, went home and there was just a mountain of money right there. You go spend and do whatever you want. He says, all that money is not near to me what God's word is. In verse 47, he says, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Now, for us to love God's word, many times I think it's this way. Sure, I love God's word. I think it's stated that way. I don't think it's stated in our own hearts, boy, do I love God's word. Oh, we love God's word from the aspect we know it's God's word. We know we should love God's word. We have great respect for it. But many times, I don't think we have that burning desire. That burning desire that we have to have it all the time. It always has to be on our mind. Kind of like those teenagers that are just absolutely, completely in love with somebody. And so it's on all their papers, their initials, inside little hearts. It's carved on every piece of wood and in every bathroom stall they can get into until the next week when it's somebody else's name. Just absolutely obsessed. They're at school with them all day and then they come home and be on the phone with them all day. What about God's word? Could you say that's true of you? Do you love God's word that way? In verse 48, he continues, my hands also I'll lift up to commandments which I love. I will meditate on your statutes. In verse 72, he says, the law of your mouth is better to me than the thousands of coins and of gold and silver. Have you ever considered, would you ever take a day off of work, even unpaid, just one single day, to spend in God's word that whole day? He says here, than thousands of dollars. I love your word. It's better to me than that. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Would you say that you think about God's word all day long? Now, understand what I'm not saying is that if you're working on a line, let's say you're working on a line, and assembly line, and instead of doing your job, you're daydreaming about God's word. I'm not talking that way. You're concentrating on your work, but what comes to your mind over and over is God's word. Whether you're at break time, whether the job is such that you can think of about doing two things at once. What about when you get home? What do you do? Do you reach for your Bible or the television remote? There's a place for the television remote. But how much do you love God's word? Therefore, I love your commandments. They are more than gold. Yes, than fine gold, he says in verse 127. Question I'm going to answer today is, why should I fall in love with God's word again? This morning, I want you to see from Psalm 119, not only the love that he has, but why does he have that love? What makes God's word so special that that's all that this writer is truly concerned about? What's so great about it? Oh, I'm sure you can come up with a great many of things, but I want you to see what he has to say, beginning with the blessings and the benefits of God's word. What are the blessings and benefits of God's word? What does God's word have for you that you would be interested in it? Les and I were talking downstairs about the great theological mysteries. And the truth is, when you are offered a gift like the gift of salvation, the fact that God himself sent his son to pay the full penalty for your sin, which you deserve, not he, was a substitute for you, paid the ultimate price, which you can never pay, was buried and rose again 3 days later, and offers it to you as a free gift, and all you have to do is receive that free gift by placing your trust in Jesus Christ alone, having abandoned the sinful desires of your life. having said, you know what? That way of sin I know is not right. I'm going to turn to God and I'm going to accept His free gift of salvation. I put my complete and whole trust, banking completely on what Jesus did for me because of God's great mercy and grace. When you do that, Jesus says you will have eternal life. Absolute, complete forgiveness of sins. You will be forever in heaven. How can you resist anything like that? Here on this earth, somebody comes up with something that's too good to be true, and you're like me. You're like, I don't think I want a part of that. I got a phone call the other day, and it said, I don't know who they thought they were talking to, but the machine said to me, if you a 30-second survey, and you can win a trip for two. And I could be out in some Bahamas or something that way. And the first thing I did is I said to myself, oh yeah, that'll happen. And I hung up. People don't give away something for nothing. Oh, it cost a great deal. But your salvation is an absolutely already paid for deal. And all you have to do is receive it by faith. That's a blessing. You know that blessing. What other blessings are there though? Oh, there's a lot of them. If we were to look at the Bible itself, and not even just looking at at Psalm 119, he starts out, and I'm going to look at the first two verses, blessed are the undefiled in their way who walk in the law of the Lord. There are very few verses, I think you count them on one hand, in the book, or in the Psalm 119, where there's not a direct reference to God's Word. Here it says law, the New King James. In verse 2 it says testimonies. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. Now what does that word blessed mean? Some translators and translations in the book of Matthew describe blessed as happy. But if you're like me, you understand happy as a very surface emotional feeling that you have when you woke up in the morning and realize that you're not in the obituary. You're happy about it. Or you're happy that the coffee is ready for you. Or maybe you're happy it's sunny out. Maybe you're happy it's raining so you don't have to mow that day. But the word blessing talks about God's favor. Let's look at just a few. Consider just a few of these. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we find that a person who honors their father and mother is promised a long life. We see in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that your needs are met. We find in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the blessing of an abundance by God. And in Psalm 127, verse 5, we find that children are a beautiful blessing from the Lord. We see in Psalm 1 that the blessing of success or prosperity, which doesn't mean you're filthy rich. It can mean that. It says to be successful in all that he does. In Psalm 34, verse 10, says that they'll lack no good thing. In Psalm 41, verse 1, deliverance from your enemies. Psalm 128, 1 and 2, happiness. In Psalm 128, verse 5, a good life. John 10:28, eternal life is a blessing from God. In Matthew chapter 5, we see several. Verse 4, comfort from God. We see the blessing of mercy from God in verse 7. In Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the blessed hope is what we have in the rapture. When we look at God's Word, whether you're looking at individuals in God's Word, for example, Joseph. Joseph, from one aspect, you could say this guy was filled with just curse after curse. Having done nothing wrong, but being favored by his father, he was then cast into a pit to die. And then, instead of that, they decided to sell him, just want to make some money off the kid. And so then he is a slave in Egypt. And then he's falsely accused. there he is put into prison. Doesn't sound like much of a blessing, does it? Until you find out that when he was in each of those situations, he was faithful to God so that as a house servant, he became the authority over everything. So that the master didn't hardly know what was going on. The master, he came home from battle, from his duties. He came home, he slept, he ate, and he went back knowing that everything was taken care of because Joseph was being blessed by God. We find that in the prison a similar thing happened. We find when a person is faithful to God that God blesses them in the scripture through various ways and various means. Here we find that a person who walks in the law of God and the person who keeps God's testimonies, that is a person that's blessed. A lot of times I think we're blessed and we don't see it. Are you sitting here in this building today? You're blessed. Do you have all four of your limbs? I did some limb trimming yesterday, including some of my own. But are still all there, mostly. You've been blessed. You going home to a roof over your head? Are you going home to food in the refrigerator? Are you going to drive to your house? Or be driven to your house? Maybe driven up the wall on the way to the house? You are blessed. You got somebody sitting next to you who loves you? Yes, you do. Whether you're married to them, or your brother and sister in Christ, or you're here as someone that's not here often, you are blessed by God. Where do those blessings come from? From God himself, from serving him. Because of your obedience to Christ, and not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. That is, you've come to assemble as a church. You have the blessing of the fellowship of each other. The blessing of being under God's word. We are indeed blessed. And that blessing comes along with benefits in God's word. We see in Psalm 119, many, many benefits of God's word. If you start in verse 11, we're going to take these just from Psalm 119, and you can run your finger down the verses. If you're like me, you'll mark some of them that you like. We find in verse 11, the resisting of temptation. Your word, God's word, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. When I take and study God's word, when I memorize, what I'm doing is I'm taking, having gone through my first Awana book and now my second Awana book, I'm going back and memorizing them. In fact, I've got them right here, all of them. That's all the verses I'm supposed to know. I know these ones back here, I'm refreshing on better. And I'm taking and learning. You know, there's been a couple times I've been tempted to do something, but because I've been memorizing God's word, I kind of let that be what directs me, and I find it much easier to resist because I know what God would have me to do. Verse 24. In verse 24, we see that God's word is a counselor. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Where can you get the ultimate guidance and wisdom? You can go down to the bookstore and get every kind of self-help there is and come up with all kinds of ideas. Some good, some bad. And how do you know which ones are really that good? Well, this is God's word. You know it's not going wrong. So indeed, a good place to be is God's word. Verse 25, he says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. We're going to talk some more about these imperatives tonight. But here, where can I find revival? Many times we say, we will like revival. Where can you get that revival? It's right here in God's word. God revives us. He revives us spiritually. He even revives us physically. Knowing that God's right there with us, he strengthens us and encourages us. In verse 28, we see that spiritual strength. It says, my soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Having a bad day? Go to God's word. In verse 32, it talks about a greater love for God and others. He says, I will run in the way of your commandments, and you shall enlarge my heart. Stronger love for God and for others. We see in verse 35, what people are running around looking for joy in this life. What makes them happy? He says here, make me walk in the paths of your commandment, for I delight in it. Do you delight in God's word? I mean, is that something exciting you look forward to? If you're like me, you've sat in your office or been on the job somewhere, and your mind has wandered to supper, and you delight in it. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't wait till I get home so I can have some of that really great supper that we're going to have. Tuesday, I've got a pastor's meeting, and it'll come around Tuesday. We'll get in the meeting, and it's just time of fellowship and encouragement. And you know what I'm going to think about a little bit? I'm going to think about what we're going to eat afterwards. We usually go out to eat. I delight in that. What about God's word? Do you delight in God's word the same way? In verse 41, he talks about salvation. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, my salvation according to your word. We see in verse 42 that there's an answer there in God's word for those who are in God's word, an answer for the enemies, for those who are persecuting. We find in verse 50 that during difficult times there is comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Again, those hard days that you have, those times when life is just unbearable, where do you go for comfort? We can go to the TV and occupy our minds. We could do something not as healthy for us. Maybe it's the refrigerator. Hopefully not, but maybe it's the alcohol bottle. Maybe it's that the other day I needed a root beer. I told Don, it was a long day, and I said, I need a root beer. Where do you go for comfort? Do you go to God's word? Let me show you how that works real quickly. Life is really tough, right? And difficulties in life. Things look bleak, impossible. Remember David? David was in a situation where the king of the country was hunting him down for his own life. Do you think life was hard? Do you think life maybe was a little uncomfortable, discouraging? Do you think that maybe David even coming to the point of, hey, what's the point in living? All I do is run from this guy. What did he do? Oh, you're reading the Psalms over and over again. You find out he trusted God. What did he find? Comfort. It works. Works for David. There's no reason it can't work for you. Verse 62, we find that we get a thankful heart looking at God's word. And in verse 71, it says, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. So one of the benefits from God's word is to cause you to praise God in affliction. In verse 80, you're not ashamed because you're following God's word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. This is one of my verses I'm still trying to get down real good. And now, little children, abide in him, for when he appears, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. In verse 92 of Psalm 119, we find encouragement being received from God's word. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. What encouragement we can get from God's word. Verse 98, wisdom. We look at the world around us, and the wisdom that we find is godless. And godless wisdom always has a destructive path. It might have good intentions, it might have good immediate results, but I find that the world's wisdom always brings about destruction, whether to you or somebody else. Here's a wise truth from the world. If you want to get ahead, don't worry about other people. And I see it constantly, the political happenings in businesses. They don't care about the customer. They don't care about the other employees. It's about them. Because worldly wisdom says, take care of number one, meaning you. And it leads to destruction. Verse 105, we see that the word of God produces insight and direction to life. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, these alone is enough. When we rejoice in the blessings and benefits of God's word, we see the blessings of God as one follows his word. We see the benefits of following his word. So far, there's no reason not to love God's word. And also, we look at the regarding the curses of God's word. I just looked here at Psalm 119, and so he has only a few, but he does have some regarding the curses of God's word. We can go to many other examples, which we'll note as well. In verse 21, we see that those who stray from God's commands are those that are proud, and God rebukes them. In verse 67, we find that there is affliction for those who go astray from God's word. In verse 118, we see God rejects his hands of curses against those who refuse to follow and walk in God's word. Verse 119, God puts away or punishes the wicked. And so 119, verse 126, we see that God's judgment is upon those who go against God's word. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. So now, why should you be in love with God's word? Look at all the blessings of following God's word, knowing it, and following it. Look at all the benefits it has. We keep looking to the world for these benefits, and it's right here. We look at the fact that God is against those who are against doing his word. Why would we not learn to love it? To learn it, to meditate on it. We find that God's judgment has been against those and who have rejected God in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 9 and 10. Despite the fact that God tells you not to complain, Israel was in the desert. They complained against God continually. We find that passage. That's why they were left dead there. God wasn't going to bless them. We find in Pharaoh, his heart was so hard against God's clear hand. Atheists today say if God did some, came down himself and performed some kind of miracle, I would believe. That's not true. It didn't work for Pharaoh. Jesus told the rich man, if your brothers don't believe the law and the prophets, they're not going to believe even if someone raises from the dead. And certainly was true. For Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And what did the Pharisees say? Oh, that's not true. Even Nicodemus himself admitted they knew he had to be from God because nobody could do those things. But they continued to reject Jesus Christ. Pharaoh continued to reject, and he ended up losing his firstborn, possibly his own life because of it. We find that in practical lives in our family, when we reject God's design for marriage, what happens? It falls apart. There is great benefit and blessing to honoring God by following his commands. So how do you rekindle your love for God's word? What are you going to do to rekindle your love for God and his word? You've got the head knowledge. I know that God's word is a tremendous blessing. I know it's a tremendous benefit. I know that if I reject it, not necessarily salvation on the part of us, but be not walking according to a spirit, I know there's consequences, bad consequences for that. For this reason, Paul says, many of you are sick and have fallen asleep, that is, died. I know that, but how do I change my heart? Psalm 1, first is to spend quality time with God. Spend quality time with God. You start spending quality time with him, your life will change. In Psalm 119, verse 47, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. He'll delight himself in His commandments, to look at them and say, well, that's what I need. In verse 48, He says, my hands also I will lift up your commands which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. In verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all day long. If you are spending time in God's Word and spending time with God, you are going to rekindle that love for God's Word. Here's something that maybe you should know. When I read God's Word, I get reading my doing my Bible reading, sometimes I'm not in the mood, or I'm thinking of all the other things that I have to do. I get going by the time I've hit the end of the second chapter, I don't want to stop reading. Why? Because God's been working in my heart, and I'm learning, and I'm applying. I find it fascinating, and then sometimes I end up studying a portion of Scripture. Appreciate the beauty and value of God's Word, even as I look at that beautiful bird in the sky. Well, it's all retired now. It'd be in the museum. That beautiful blackbird. You gotta look quick at 2,000 miles an hour. And I just see the design of it, the shape of it, the just magnificence of what that plane is. I appreciate its beauty, the design of it. I appreciate what it does. And the more that I appreciate it, the more I feel drawn towards it. When we think about our love of our life, think of all the blessings that your wife or husband has been, or your children, all the bad things that annoys you all the time. But the real blessing, it draws your heart closer to them. We need to rekindle a love for God. We need to be meditating on God's Word. We need to appreciate its beauty and blessing. That's what Psalm 119 does. I've gone through it several times this last week. You go through it. Go through it several times. Let the author here really communicate to you what a blessing God's Word is. And appreciate its beauty. If you do that, you'll have a greater love for God's Word. In France, there once was a poor blind girl, and she obtained the Gospel of Mark, and the letters were raised so she could learn to read it by feeling it with her fingertips. But having done such over and over again, what happened is her fingertips became calloused. And so she couldn't feel the letters as well anymore. So in effort to try to bring back that sensation, she ended up slicing her fingers, tried to get that back, and found that she only ruined the nerves on her fingertips. She cried and wept. She pressed her lips in love to God's Word, saying, "Farewell, farewell, sweet Word of my Heavenly Father." And she noticed, to her surprise, that her lips were more sensitive than her fingertips. And all night, she used her lips on God's Word and overflowed with joy at learning she could use her lips to read God's Word. Do you have such love for God and His Word?